ध्यायामोद्धवनापकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Shankara in this shloka is speaking about as to how we need to meditate on Devi. How can we bring Devi or Devi's rupam, Devi's form into our mind. So this shloka is a way of contemplating or meditating on Devi's form. So Shankara says, the shloka goes something like this. It is in Bhairavi Ragam. Kwanat Kanchi Kama Kari Kalaba कुम्भस्तननता परीक्षीणा मध्ये परिणत शरश्चन्द्रवदना धनुर्बाणान् पाशं शृणमपि ददाना करतलै पुरस्तादस्ताम्नः पुरमतिदुराहो पुरुषिका। The last part I may be wrong, I'm not quite sure about how it is sung. But in this shloka, Shankara speaks about as to how a person should concentrate, do dhyanam on Devi. So a brief explanation of or brief exposition of Devi's form is being undertaken in this particular shloka. We can ask that if Devi or the ultimate reality is without any form, then what is the use? What is the real purpose of worshipping a form? So, anticipating this, anticipating the doubt, a similar doubt happening in or might happen in the mind of any seeker, Arjuna in the 12th chapter of Gita asks Krishna as to Saguna Brahman, Saguna Upasana is better or Nirguna Upasana is better. At that time, Krishna says, Krishna speaks initially about Saguna Upasana, praising it, and then he says, Krishna says that Klesho Dikataras Tesham Avyakta Sakta Chetasam Avyakta Higatir Dukkam Dehavadbir Avapyate. So he says, Kleshaha Adhikataraha Tesham. Klesham, trouble or problems are more for Nirguna Upasana. For people who are doing Nirguna Upasana, problems are more. Why? Because majority of people in the world are at the level of the body. They haven't yet overcome body consciousness. The consciousness or the association of I or consciousness with the body. Therefore, it is tough for such people to contemplate on Ishvara without any form. Since I consider myself as having a form, therefore I'll not be able to contemplate on an Ishvara who is without form. As long as I have a form, Ishvara also should have form. Therefore, most of the seekers are in that stage, in that particular level of considering oneself as having a particular form, as having the association of this the self with the body. Therefore, such people have to initially gain concentration, gain focus by doing Saguna Upasana. Later they themselves would be led by the Lord himself into the ultimate reality of Nirguna Parabrahman. So Saguna Upasana is essential for seekers, for normal seekers it is essential to do Saguna Upasana and gain concentration, gain focus, gain knowledge, then slowly drift into Nirguna Upasana when the body consciousness vanishes. So Shankara is here therefore speaking about the form of Devi, a varnana of the exposition or explanation in brief about Devi's form. So Kwanath Kanchi Dhamma. Kwanath means sound. So the sound is like Kanchi Dhamam. Sound is very clear, sound of Devi. The Devi's sound is clear, means soft as well as clear. Kari Kalaba Kumbas Tananata. So stanam means the breast is what is the word for stanam. Nari stanabara nabi vesham drishtva maga moha vesham. So Shankara uses that word in Bhajagovindam as well. So Devi is the meaning of the entire that phrase. Kari Kalaba Kumbas Tananata means having the quality, or the entire phrase means that Devi is a little bit bent. Devi's form is a little bit bent because of her two breasts hanging. So the breasts are compared with respect to the mastakam. Mastakam means the forehead of a baby elephant. Even as the forehead of a baby elephant is really good, really beautiful and little bit heavy, similarly Devi's breasts are heavy, therefore by that heaviness she is bent a little bit. So that is Devi's form. So Devi's voice is sweet and she is a little bit bent. And Parikshina Madhye means middle part. Middle part means we can say the waist part or the stomach, that portion of Devi is Parikshina. Parikshina means it is very thin. That means Devi is thin in the middle portion. Devi is thin to at the place of her abdomen, or we can say the waist. Her waist is, she has a very thin waist. Parinata Kshareshchandra Vadana. Vadana, her face shines. Her face is shining like the Sharad Kala Chandran. That full moon which is present during the Sharad Kalam, during that particular Sharad Ritu, that's one of the Shad Ritus. So even as the moon that is there in Sharad Kalam means autumn, is very bright splendor with lot of light, similarly Devi's face is shining like that. So Devi's face is shining in the same way. So this in short explains a brief about her body. Her face is bright like the moon. It is full, and it's not just bright, but in autumn we can see that the moon is more kind of blissful or happy. So Devi's face is always with happiness, and her sound is sweet, and she's a little bit bent because of the weight of her breast. So that means like her body is really beautiful. And even as is considered the right what to call, I'm not getting the right word to put it, but the right form of a woman is considered like an hourglass. So the waist portion needs to be thin. So if you have seen Devi's the Tripurasundari photo, you can see that Devi's waist is very thin. So Devi's waist is very thin, and not only that, she has in her hands, we have already learned that, Karatalaihi, in her hands, Dhanuhu, bow, Banan means various arrows, Pasham, the rope, and Srinim is the kusham, that weapon, Api, Dadana means she carries it in her arms. So her arms are equipped with these four. She has four hands, and each one of them is equipped with an instrument or an entity, we can say. And Puramadituhu Aho Purushika. So Puramadituhu means of Pura, Puramatan. Puramatan is a name for Shiva, because Shiva, Madanam is a word denoting destruction. Puraha means town. So Shiva destroyed with his third eye. He destroyed the three worlds or various cities he destroyed. Therefore he is called Puramatan. And Puramatituhu means of Puramatan. So what about Puramatan? How is Devi? Devi is like the Ahankaram. Devi is like the Ahankaram of Puramatan. Aho Purushika means Ahankaram. Ahankaram of Puramatan. Ahankaram here means sense of possession. So even as a husband is so possessed about his wife, similarly Shiva is very possessed about Devi. So, O Devi, you are one of the best possession of Shiva. So Shiva is really possessed. Shiva is really attached or attracted to you. And naha means us. Purastad means in front. Asta means come. So O Devi, purastad astam. Naha purastad, in front of us, come in front of us. That means O Devi, show your benign form, show your beautiful form, so that I may gain concentration, and through that particular concentration I'll be able to all focus my mind. I'll be able to focus my mind and be ever focused in you. Thereby if I gain concentration of your form, then I'll be able to see your form everywhere. Once I see your form everywhere, then I'll be slowly taken from the form of Devi to the formless Devi, which is your real state. So that transition can happen only after I gain purity of mind, purity and focus of mind through dhyanam of your saguna, sakara dhyanam, dhyanam of your particular form. So your form is so beautiful, your form has the all the features of a perfect woman, and not only that, you are also you also attract Shiva, Sadashiva, towards yourself because of your beauty. And it's like explanation telling that, okay, your face is really beautiful and all, that's a way of telling, that's a way of generating interest in a seeker, so that the seeker will do dhyanam. I'll not be able to do dhyanam on a particular form if I am not attracted to that form. If I don't like that form, if I don't like a particular form, I'll not be able to do dhyanam of that form. So if I have to do dhyanam of that a particular form, then I'll have to first like that form. And it's a general notion that someone who is beautiful, with a lady who is really beautiful, a woman who is really beautiful, will be liked by all. Therefore, explaining Devi to be one of the very beautiful women in the entire world, that will help us in gaining focus on Devi. That will help us in getting interest in doing dhyanam on Devi. And once we do dhyanam on the form of Devi, then slowly we'll move from form or sakaram to nirakaram, nirguna, parabrahman, which is what Vedanta calls as moksha. So this, and this shloka is for dhyanam, so bringing Devi's form into our mind, into our fixing the form into our mind. So some of the features are mentioned, Amma and others explain in depth. Like, we can also while doing dhyanam, we can extend it to say that you have a beautiful kiritam. So have imagine a beautiful kiritam in Devi, which has lot of jewels, lot of ratnam, and then like imagine that her forehead, there is a tilakam, there is a puttu or whatever is called on her forehead, and then she has a mukutti, she has a nose, she has a ring wearing worn in her nose, I don't know what that is called. Then she has earrings, beautiful earrings, and her lips are smiling lips, and then we can say that she has a beautiful, she has worn a beautiful necklace which is shining like the semantakam or any other jewel. And then she not only has a necklace, she has a worn a garland of that flower which we like the most, the flower of jasmine or rose or whatever, whichever flower we like, she is wearing a garland. And when it comes to her waist portion, there is a, she is wearing an uddhyanam, she has an uddhyanam. And then coming down, she has one I'm not sure what it translates to, kolusu, we should say, like the feet, what you chain or whatever you wear, that is also she is wearing. And not only that, she is sitting on a beautiful throne. So she has a, we have put forth a chair or a simhasanam for her, and she is sitting on it, looking at us, smiling at us. And that very form, that beautiful form, the beauty of Devi, as well as the radiance that comes from her face, that comes from her entire body, is enough to make us make our mind fixed on it forever. Even as, like, this is the normal case that when somebody who is really beautiful, some girl who is really beautiful, walks by without knowing or without really having an intention, unintentionally our eyes follow the girl. So even if it need not be just that guys follow girls, but any person, it's just beauty that a person appreciates. So if that is the case with a person in the world, so if we have a beautiful the most beautiful girl, the most beautiful woman of Devi sitting in front of us, then will not be bothered about any other thing. Our eyes will always be focused on it. Our eyes will be focused on Devi alone. And when we gain such one-pointed concentration, that is what Patanjali calls as dhyanam. Tatra pratyaya ekathanada dhyanam. Tatra, there. In our object of concentration, whatever is our object of concentration, pratyaya ekathanada. The flow, the cognition in the mind, the thought of the mind being just one. So that means like all thought process is focused on that particular form alone. So Ramana Maharshi beautifully says that Ajadharaya Srotasasanam Sarala Chintanam Viralata Param. So Sarala Chintanam Viralata Param. Sarala Chintanam, that Chintanam which is simple and is better than complex thoughts. And how should this thought be? There are two qualities that Ramana gives there. Ajadharaya, it should be like the flow of oil or ghee. What, even as oil or ghee, that which is viscous, flows like one particular. If we split the flow, let's say that oil is flowing from one step to another step. When it flows, there is no gap between two particles or molecules of the oil. It is viscous, therefore there is a continuity in the flow. Such a continuity is required for dhyanam. In dhyanam, the thought should always be continuous. There shouldn't be any lag. That means, 1 second we'll think about Devi and another second we'll think about our manager or our work. 1 second we'll be thinking about Devi and the next second we'll be thinking about our brother or sister. So that shouldn't happen. So that is Ajadharaya. There should be a continuous flow of thought, and Srotasasanam, the thought should be pure. There shouldn't be any continuity is with respect to distraction or other thoughts. And it should, the purity is because of the intention behind the thought. So our intention behind the thought should always be that we are thinking Devi, we are devoted to Devi, therefore we are contemplating on Devi. So we should have Ajadharaya and Srotasasanam, continuous and pure flow. Pure flow means that we have to be dedicated, we have to have focus. And when that is there, then we will gain concentration. And once we gain concentration, we will more and more have dhyanam. The more and more we do dhyanam, the more and more mind becomes pure, as well as mind becomes more focused. Mind is able to concentrate a lot more. And then when we get into Vedanta, when we learn the Vedantic scripture, the scriptures or the Upanishads, the Gita, the Brahma Sutra, then we'll be able to apprehend it very easily because our mind is used to focus, mind is able to concentrate. The main reason why we are not able to learn a lot of things is because our mind is distracted. Within 1 minute, our mind thinks about 100 people, 100 entities, 100 activities. Therefore, we are not able to gain concentration, or we are not able to apprehend things quickly. It is said that Shankaracharya, when he was of the age of 5 years, he learned the four Vedas, entire Vedas he had completed. That was only because his mind was pure, his mind was without any distraction. It is also like a matter of experience that if we want to learn something, if we want to learn a chapter, a particular concept, a particular topic, if we are focused, then it will take us only 10 minutes. But let's say we are distracted, we want to learn when music is on, we want to learn with TV, then it will take more time. And so that means, like, if we are focused and concentrated, we'll be able to apprehend things easier. And therefore, constant dhyanam helps us to gain that purity and focus of the mind. Therefore, after that, when we learn that, oh Devi, you alone are there. Now, I knew that you alone were there in the entire world, but now let me learn more about Vedanta, more about scriptures. Then we will come to know, oh Devi, I earlier thought that you were with a form, but now I am coming to understand that any form limits an entity. Form is always a limitation. And you are unlimited. How can the unlimited be limited to a form? So the form has to be an illusion. Therefore, you are formless. So this way of analysis, this way of analytically or logically concluding in our mind, being convinced that devi is formless, devi is nirgunam. That can happen only when our mind is focused, our mind is concentrated. That is achieved through dhyanam. And once we do that, then it is easier to get logically conclude that devi is nirguna brahman. And once we conclude that devi is nirguna brahman, then we will have also conclude that whatever is present here is only devi, and the body, the mind, the people around, all are illusions, jagat mithya, all are illusions. Then who am I? I am the Atman, which is not different from Devi. That means I am Devi and everything is Devi. There is only Devi here. Whatever seems to be different from Devi is an illusion. Everything is only Namarupam in Devi, and therefore I am Devi. If I am Devi, then I am unlimited. If I am unlimited, then my nature is Anandam. If I am Anandam in nature, then there is no Dukkam. If there is no Dukkam, then I don't have anything to achieve or attain in life. Therefore, I'll have a blissful life. That is what is the aim of learning any Vedantic work or any work depicting, praising a particular Ishvara. So through Saguna Upasana, gain focus of the mind, gain purity of mind, then apprehend the Nirguna Devata, the Nirguna Brahman, Nirguna Parabrahman, who alone is present here. Which, and realize one's own nature of Nirguna Parabrahman, thereby ever rejoicing in Anandam, or Jeevan Mukti, the state of Jeevan Mukti. So that is what Shankara's aim in this particular shloka is, as to how to contemplate, how to concentrate on Devi in order to gain purity and focus of the mind. So Shankara only, as I said, like Shankara gives only a brief explanation. We can go on explaining a lot. We can, the more and more details we analyze, the more and more details we are able to look into, the more focused the mind will be. So it is said that Chinmayananda is a Shiva Bhakta. So it is said, Chinmaya himself said in one of his lectures that when he was a child, he was brought up in an orthodox family. So they used to have daily puja at night. So he was a small boy. So he was not interested in puja and all. Yet he was forced to sit in the puja room for daily for half an hour, 1 hour. So he didn't know what to do. He didn't like the activities going on. Therefore, what he did was, he saw a picture of Shiva in front. So he, like all children do, he thought, okay, he took a task to himself that he would focus, he would by heart the each and every detail of the particular photo of Shiva, so that he will get the picture, get the form in his mind. So daily he started doing it, and after some days he could do it to the most intricate details. That is the basis for Chinmayananda's very presence, or Chinmayananda's very state of Brahmavidvaram, or the state of Brahmajnani or Jivan Mukta. So he used to, at that time when he was speaking about this, about his old memories, he said that even at this moment when I close my eyes, I can see the entire form of Shiva. So the more intricate details we go into, the more our mind will be focused, the more it will be. It's like telling that if we have to see something in detail, if we have to look into something in detail, we need to be more focused. That means if we have to look into something in detail, we need to avoid other thoughts. So initially when we are trying to focus more and more on the parts of Devi, we'll not be able to, because mind will be distracted. So we'll put more effort. That means we'll easily gain more control, more focus when we go into intricate details. That is the purpose of. So though Shankara gives a very basic explanation, basic detail of Devi's form, we can concentrate more on it as is required for concentration of the mind. So each seeker's mind is different from one another. Therefore, as effort is required for a particular seeker to concentrate on the form of Devi, gain focus, that much he has to put more effort, or that much details he has to look into. if a person is able to get brain concentration just by seeing very basic details of Devi like Shankara gives, then well and good. If a person is not able to gain concentration with just these details, then he has to go into more and more details. We'll see the next shloka in the next day. Hari.